This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. Governor Walker delivered the first State of the State address of his second term last night. The speech lasted 25 minutes and laid out a basic agenda for the coming months, including shrinking the size of state government further, eliminating Common Core standards from schools, and decreasing property taxes.
With a possible presidential bid ahead, the governor's speech attracted attention from many political analysts around the country, including right here with our analyst, Mordecai Lee, who is a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Mitch.
So we heard a lot leading up to this speech that the governor was giving it with two sets of listeners in mind, the Wisconsin electorate and also national listeners, as he is reportedly considering a run for the White House. Now, I have voted in a lot of presidential primaries and elections, and I don't remember paying a lot of attention to what the various governors who might be running for president said in their State of the State addresses. Have things changed, or are we talking about people besides average voters who are paying attention to this stuff?
Mitch, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but he wasn't talking to you. And I mean it in the sense of the category. Right now, in the early phases of running for president, what you're trying to do is you're trying to lock in the voters who are active in primaries. Sometimes we call them the Republican base, the people who go door to door at midnight, the night before a caucus and stuff like that. They're very prized possessions. And you're also talking to sort of the Beltway, the Coxinetti, you know, the ones who are really following it. And so I think the speech as addressed to them was a very effective one.
You're talking about influential columnists and bloggers and even large donors?
Absolutely. And I think he really knocked it out of the ballpark. It was a new Scott Walker that we saw. I'm guessing that most average Wisconsinites didn't quite see it, and he didn't necessarily want to say it that way. And of course, he did address some state issues.
Well, and so are we talking about content here or something else that a national audience would be looking at? I mean, are we talking about gravitas here?
I think we're talking about content, and I think we're talking about sort of placement on the ideological dial. So the content, some of it was that he was telling the standard conservative Republican talk radio Tea Party base that he's one of them. For example, his comments about Common Core. He said we should never force a local school board to have to decide to use Common Core. I trust the people, you know, which is a standard trope for what conservatives believe in. But a couple other things just to me jumped out from the speech. One of them was his emphasis on issues that transcend political differences. He started with the Packers.
Yeah, I was just going to say beyond the Packers, though.
and then I noticed that he sort of ad-libbed a line where he said, I was sitting a couple of rows in front of a guy who told me up front that he didn't agree with my policies. But by the end of the game, we were hugging and kissing each other. And he was leading into a larger theme when he talked about issues that transcend our differences. And so, for example, what transcends our differences are support for the National Guard and for our service people. What transcends our differences, it was a reaction to Paris. And finally, what transcends our differences is wanting economy and efficiency in government. And so I think that was a tilt in one direction, although there were a couple of things that were tilting in a very different strategy.
Well, such as?
Did you notice how he triangulated himself almost in the way that Bill Clinton sometimes triangulated his positions? For example, he talked about there are people who in Washington want to keep growing big government. And then he counterposed it by saying, and there are those who disdain government. And he said, I don't agree with either side. Now, that was a very interesting effort to say a kind of a, I'm a moderate. I don't want to go in and kill the federal government. I believe there are some things that the government ought to do. And the other thing that just really jumped out at me was when he said – he was talking about that he wanted to sue the EPA against environmental regulations. And he said, we can have environmental and economic sustainability. Now, sustainability is a kind of a left-of-center term. In other words, he's positioning himself that he's not so pro-environment that he's anti-business, but he's not so pro-business that he's anti-environment. Now, to me, this was just a fascinating effort at triangulation.
There was another line in particular that struck me as he talked about property taxes that they have gone down in the past 4 years. And he said, how many other governors can say that? And it's probably worth noting that there are other governors around the country who have similar political ambitions who are also giving their state of the state addresses, most notably Chris Christie, who was speaking essentially at the same time.
There's no doubt that that was a shot at some other governors. But again, it was done in such a way that it wasn't red meat. You know, it was just sort of talking to the people who are important. You know, I think also there was another intention behind that line, and that's that when we talk about Ronald Reagan and how he was wanted to cut government, as it turns out, what he did is he cut the rate of growth of government. In other words, it was bending the curve, but it was not changing the direction of the curve. I think what Governor Walker wanted to do is he said, don't give me any of this stuff about bending the curve and slowing the growth of government. I prove that you can cut the cost of government, and that's what I would want to apply as when I'm president.
He also sounded this the theme that he called the Wisconsin comeback, and I imagine we're going to hear a lot of that phrase in the weeks and months to come, this idea that employment is higher, taxes are lower, and his budget reforms are working. This is a tricky balance he has to make as the budget season is beginning and there is a deficit in the forecast.
You know, I think for him, the fact that there's going to be a structural deficit is not a worry. Because if you're a conservative Republican and there's a structural deficit and you want to cut taxes, then a structural deficit is a kind of a crisis justification to cut the spending of government. So in other words, if you might not be able to under supposed normal conditions, let's say do a sizable cut in, I don't know, funding for UW, let's say. And I'm not trying to give him any ideas. But if you say we're in an economic crisis and we've got a structural deficit of, let's say, $2 billion, and I'm obviously not going to increase taxes, and therefore we have to do the painful cuts, for a conservative Republican or a talk radio Republican, that's delightful. You know, that's a wonderful thing. So I don't see that as much. But let me argue with myself. I like your point, Mitch, about the Wisconsin comeback, but I think just about every politician in America can claim that there's a comeback, whether we're talking about a governor, we're talking about a member of Congress, we're talking about a senator. Why? Because a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, we hit rock bottom in about 2008, 2009, and now it's almost a kind of an inevitable rebound of the economy. And so what's happening in this, I guess you call it a secular trend, you know, we've got higher employment and lower unemployment and higher tax revenues, as you would. It just strikes me that any governor who wants to take credit for it, in the way that Tommy Thompson took credit for the prosperity, the Clinton prosperity, is sort of like, it has the weight of a feather. State governments don't affect the macroeconomy. But nonetheless, it's become a trope of American politics about governors creating job or governors destroying job.
Well, and so what is the framework that we ought to evaluate the impact of state government on lives?
Well, state government touches us, but not in the way that the federal government touches us through the macroeconomy. And state government touches us not in the way that local government touches us, you know, police, fire, garbage pickup, snow plowing. State government affects us in these sort of medium-tier policies, but it does touch us. For example, parents trying to pay tuition for UW, kids trying to raise enough money to go to UW, and similarly for the voc tech system. That's a situation of a state agency affecting us. Road building, you know, the state patrol, these are things that do touch us. I think there are ways for us, based on our personal experiences, to judge the state government just as we do for other levels of government.
Now, the governor did bring up this idea of combining several state agencies. Is this a matter of reducing bureaucracy and waste, or is there something bigger going on here?
You know, cutting government waste is a trope that we hear both from Democrats and Republicans. And I think Franklin Roosevelt said it best, as he was just saying lecture. No, I have studied reorganization. I have studied the efficiency movement. And President Roosevelt, when he engaged in a major reorganization of the federal government. He said the purpose of reorganization is not to cut spending. You rarely get efficiencies that are in any way significant by, let's say, merging departments. What you do get is better management. You get increased government effectiveness because then, let's say, all programs that relate to X are under the same cabinet secretary instead of being under three cabinet secretaries, and that's better management. And I say to the governor and the legislature, we ought to do reorganization, but please understand that it's for the purpose of improving management. You're not going to save big bucks.
This is a remarkable stretch of opportunities for the governor. In the span of a few months, he had his reelection speech, his inaugural address, the state of the state. He still has a budget address in a few weeks. His speechwriters are pretty busy.
His speechwriters are busy. And to show you what a talented politician he is, if it was only 2 months ago that he got reelected governor saying, I'm committed, remember his word? I'm committed to being governor. And that he so effortlessly has pivoted to becoming a presidential candidate. And, you know, as a presidential candidate, there were a couple other things that really stood out to me in the speech that I doubt there's going to be much attention. One of them was his focus on foreign policy. When he talked about Paris and he said we should support freedom-loving people everywhere, that was about as hawkish a statement as one would expect from a conservative Republican. That was essentially saying we should send troops, our troops, combat troops, to Syria to fight ISIS. And so he's staking out a claim. The other thing that I have to mention is he always boasts about how we have the pension system, the best pension system in America that's fully funded. And that, I have to say, is a bit of political revisionism because in his first budget, he proposed a $100,000 study to convert the Wisconsin pension system into a 401k system. And they did the study and they spent $100,000 and it turned out that they couldn't do it. And so now, to show you what a great politician he is, instead of saying, I wanted to change the pension system and I failed, he says, we have the best funded pension system. Now that's a great politician.
Mordecai Lee, that is great analysis. Thanks again.
Thank you, Mitch.
Mordecai Lee is a professor of urban planning at UW-Milwaukee's School of Architecture and Urban Planning, a former state legislator, and an occasional Lake Effect political analyst.
Coming up next on the program, a new book promotes children's literacy while boosting Milwaukee's urban agriculture initiatives. Lake Effect returns with that story in just a moment on WUWM.